Much praise team, Bethany, appreciate that. Good to see each of you. Take your Bibles this morning. Go to the book of Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 23. Galatians 5 and verse number 23. Great singing to you all this morning. Praise the Lord for what He has done. Praise the Lord that He set us free from the chains of sin and of bondage. This morning, as I already draw your attention to, we continue on with the fruits of the Spirit. And it's such a sad day because we have reached the end of the fruits of the Spirit. Number 7 today, as we have worked our way word by word, line by line, thought by thought through the fruits of the Spirit. But I have good news for you. There's still some more verses of Galatians chapter number 5, and we surely will be working our way through those as well, because verses 24 through 26 is very, very important in practicing the fruits of the Spirit and understanding who we are in Christ and that our victory is found in Him. Different things may come to our mind as we read verse number 23, where the Bible says in chapter 5 of Galatians, meekness, and then the word we're on, or the fruit we're on today, temperance. Against such there is no law. Of course, we recognize in many other translations and other places throughout Scripture, even we see the word temperance being used or understood to mean self-control. Self-control. But I also want you to understand that it's important to understand a little bit more about the actual word temperance, because when you use the word self-control, it kind of gives you the idea that out of all the fruits of the Spirit, suddenly the last one is one you have to do on your own. And we'll find this morning that that is not the case, that true temperance and true self-control is given by the power of the Spirit of God. There's a lot of harmful things that come into our lives from not showing temperance or not showing self-control. We may think of times, there's even a certain category of crime, which is called a crime of passion. A crime that was committed out of passion, where something overwhelmed them and the crime was committed in a passionate way or because of a passion of something that they felt. We all experience, and I talk about this all the time, but we've all driven in Colorado Springs and been honked at for no reason, right? As people have determined that our driving is inferior to their driving, and they thought they would let us know by honking the horn at us or tailgating. I know that's never happened to you in any of the cities around, but self-control. Or maybe you're at a red light and the person in front of you does not go as quick as you think they should, and you exercise lack of self-control by blowing your horn at them to remind them of their lack of driving skills, where they're asking or leaning over to your wife and asking which cereal box they got their license from. And so you have all kinds of different ideas and things of self-control. I know of a story of a young man. I've told this story to the teenagers before. A young man had a relationship with a girl in high school, a teenage relationship, and the father did not like the young man and said, "You're not allowed to date my daughter any longer." And the young man was very upset by the fact that the father had made that decision, and he decided he was going to go to the father's yard and do donuts and burnouts all through the yard. And as he was going to do this, he ran into his friend who was walking, and he said, "Hey, come with me. We're going to go and destroy this man's yard because he won't let me date his daughter any longer." Two areas which are lacking self-control. The young man comes into the yard, begins to do donuts in the yard, burning up the yard. The father comes out with a gun, shoots at the truck, kills the friend that the boy had just picked up. Self-control. What is going on with these things where we react and act in such a way? We all have situations in our lives where we could act differently. A husband and wife in a disagreement, and they both know they're right. You ever had that happen? I never have, right? Of course not. You know, and you both are right. Self-control. What are you going to say that you'll need to apologize for later? Just to try to get your point across. Temperance. The idea of self-control or temperance is a virtue in relations to our desires and our impulses. It's the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit to exercise restraint, to hold back, right? To exercise restraint over our actions, over our emotions, and our thoughts, and aligning them with God's will and God's standards. Self-control, temperance, our actions, our emotions, and our thoughts. If you really think about it, if you really examine self-control, you will find out that self-control, our temperance, touches on nearly every area and every stage of life. Every area, almost every area, or every stage of life, there needs to be temperance and self-control. Whether that's temperance of our actions and the things we do or don't do, whether that's our emotions or our actions, that we go so far in the things that we do, in the way that we act, in the way that we think. So God is instructing us through the power of the Holy Spirit to understand that through the Spirit's power, we can have victory over our actions, our emotions, and our thoughts. But remember, God is not looking for actions without an attitude, because that's just hypocrisy. God wants us to have an attitude of these fruits, not just actions of them, without a heart change within us. So the fruit of the Spirit, and this particular one, as I mentioned, touches every area of our life. Think about it. As I've already mentioned, does this attitude of temperance or self-control, does this affect your marriage? Yeah, I think it would, right? How about if you have children? How do you react to your children? What do you do in certain situations with children? How do you react to them in a temperate way, in a self-controlled way? How about in the workplace? I think it would account to the workplace. If you have a boss or had a boss, how do you react to the instruction of that boss? It relates to the workplace. It relates to the home. It relates to children. It relates to the church as well. How our actions, our emotions, and our thoughts in our relations at church, within families, not just your own family, but within family and in family gatherings and people who don't do what you think they should do. And dare I say, careful here, Josh, politics. Oh, heavens, boy, we better be careful there. Little did we know, yesterday during the egg hunt, there was an anti-king protest at the park at the same time. Was that not interesting? Both scheduled for 10 o'clock. And so that was interesting, right? To say the least. And so self-control, how do we react? What do we do when people don't react or do the things that we think they should do? It affects every area of our life. But God says through the Spirit and His power, we can bring into submission our actions, our emotions, and our thoughts. Have you ever lost your temper? Yeah? Thank you, Dan, for pointing at Stacy, right? You know, have you ever lost your temper? You ever had something? I know I'm a pastor now, but when I was a young man, I was actually living in New Mexico, and we traveled up to Colorado to a summer camp. And there was a guy there named Tim Marilott, and he kept picking at me and bothering me. And finally, one day, I'd had enough. And I grabbed him, and I slammed him against the wall into the fire extinguisher. The glass broke, went everywhere, cut his shoulder, and we became best friends. We really did. I mean, we actually ended up leaving camp together and were friends all through the rest of high school. But I surely did not exhibit self-control in that situation. Have you ever had a temper? Ever acted in a way you shouldn't? All that is relation. So if you deal with actions or emotions which you have trouble controlling yourself, then the Bible says this is an area that can be controlled under, become under the control of the Holy Spirit. Just a few examples. The scripture likens a person or a nation that does not have self-control to a city without walls in Proverbs chapter 25. He says, a person or a nation that has no self-control is like a city without walls. In Genesis 16, talking about Ishmael, he says, Ishmael shall be a wild man with no control over him. And then in Jeremiah chapter 2, he refers to the, someone with no control or no self-control or no temperance to a vine that grows and goes wherever it wants. It conveys people with no self-control to have unbridled passions and pleasures leading to destructions. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7 that we should train or discipline ourselves for godliness, leading to temperance and self-control. In other words, you could say it this way, instead of readily satisfying every whim and impulse, which sometimes we do, the greater desire of obedience and God's glory are our most important ideas, our most important vision. Instead of just satisfying every impulse, well, you don't know what they did to me. They deserve this. I had a right to react this way. I should have run them off the road. I should have blown my horn for 10 seconds. I should have. You have no idea. You have no idea how wrong they are. They deserved the reaction that I gave them. I've heard them all, and you have too. But instead of readily satisfying every whim and impulse, we should have a desire to obey God, and our vision and our goal should be to be under His control. Temperance and self-control, therefore, is a spirit-wrought fruit in a believer. Because let's just be honest, have we not all tried to control ourselves and failed? Am I the only one that deals with this, right? Have we not all tried to control ourselves and failed? I told you about my addiction to Trader Joe's cookies. There's a tub in my house right now, right? It's dangerous. Get them away, right? And so, you know, have we all tried to control ourselves and failed? This is done by the Spirit of God. Temperance, self-control is a spirit-wrought fruit in a believer. It is a believer life, a believer's life that manifests itself in control of the Spirit of God, even down to our actions, our emotions, and our thoughts. Just a few other examples of lack of temperance. I told you about Ishmael and a city without walls and the wild vine from Jeremiah, but you think of Samson. Samson was under a vow. In Judges chapter number 13, he says he's under a Nazarite vow, but yet he lacked self-control, clearly. He commanded his father to go get him a foreign wife among the Philistines because he saw her and he wanted her. She is right in my eyes, Samson said in Judges 14. His unbridled lust became a great snare to Samson. Even some of his vengeance upon the Philistines was motivated by personal outburst. He was under a vow, yet he had no control. Throughout this sermon series on fruits of the Spirit, I've also always showed you how Christ exhibited each fruit, and it's no different with self-control. Think about Christ and what they did to him and how he exhibited self-control even in the midst of the beatings, of the crown of thorns, and ultimately his crucifixion. You do know, as I've already said, he could have any time called for any amount of angels he wanted and wiped them all out, and the story would have ended. It would have been over in that moment. And yet Hebrews said, for the joy that is set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Even in the wilderness in Matthew 4, when the serpent or when the devil comes and tempts him, still there. He says, I'll give you this. I'll give you that. You can have all these things right now. Just bow down and worship me. And yet he denied all. He exhibited spirit-led self-control. And so in our lives, through the Spirit of God, we also can exhibit self-control. I'm telling you, I've told you this before, but in my marriage, I have a rule. I have a rule. I said, Joanna, I know I'm going to forgive you, and I know you're going to forgive me. I've told you this before. So let's just do it now and get it over with. There's no use wasting any time not forgiving one another. How many times have we all had to apologize for something we should not have said? How many times have you hoped you did not run into somebody because of the way you acted when they saw you last time? I mean, the Spirit wants us to be led by, controlled by His power and not our own, because by our own ability, we are capable of almost anything. And so here, three points this morning on self-control. All that was kind of an introductory as we're kind of getting going this morning. But Christ demonstrated that. Samson did not have self-control. So what are some areas or some ways in which we can have self-control? Number one, self-control will impact three areas. First of all, let's just start, and we could go to others, but it impacts our thoughts. Our thoughts. Go to Colossians chapter number 3. The book of Colossians chapter number 3. Where should our thoughts really be? What should our minds be set upon? Colossians 3 and verse number 1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then verse number 2, he says this, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. So our problem is, a lot of times our affection and our love is not set upon the things of God, but is set upon the things of the world. The Bible says that we should set our affection on things above, not on things of the earth. The fruit of the Spirit, as far as self-control, it begins to control our thoughts, the things we think, the things we think about other people. And our thoughts, of course, lead to actions. So being under the control of the Spirit of God, He controls our thoughts. The Bible calls it, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Renewing of your mind. That temper you used to have that started with those thoughts that came into your mind can be renewed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit will allow us to exhibit self-control in our lives. Our actions start with thoughts. As a matter of fact, there's even a saying that is an example of that, is we say, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, right? What is that telling you? It's telling you that the action that you're about to take comes from the mind and the thoughts that you have been thinking. And so you're going to go give them a piece of your mind. West Palm Beach, Florida, where I grew up, where I lived for several years before moving to New Mexico. My dad and my uncles and my grandfather all worked for Rinker Materials Company in Fort Pierce, Florida, which was an hour north of West Palm Beach. Road rage incident, 1992. I know I use a lot of these, but they're fascinating because they're so ridiculous. A man was cut off in traffic. He was angry, began to follow the other man closely, gets behind him, then decides he's going to go beside him. He didn't know that he was dealing with a hardened criminal that he was having road rage against. The man simply picks up his gun and kills him through the window. Do you really think that was worth it? A little spirit-led self-control would have saved his life. And so in our lives, the Spirit of God allows us to begin to have control over our thoughts. And the way we do that, he says, we set our affection on things above. Now, the key to this whole thing, I don't want to give it all away, is going to be found in verse 24 of Galatians 5, where he talks about our death. Do you realize you can't offend a dead man? Do you know that? You can try. He's not going to say anything back. But you got to understand that in order to really have the power of the Spirit and self-control, you got to realize who you are in Christ. And the Bible says we are dead in Christ. Our old sinful nature has been crucified. We'll go into that later next week. But he says, let's start by putting our minds and our thoughts on things above. The second area, go to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs 4 and verse number 23. The first is our thoughts. The second, our emotions. Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter number 4 and verse number 23. A very familiar verse. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. He says in verse number 23. But then he says this. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thy eyelids look straight before thee. And then he says in verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. You know, the Bible says, think about what you're about to do. Ponder the direction you're about to go. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Let our hearts and our direction be controlled by the Spirit of God in the direction that He would have us to go. In other words, we should not let our heart be dominated by anger. Let me say that again. We should not, I'm talking about our emotions here, self-control. We should not let our heart be dominated by anger. A heart that is dominated by anger will lead to lack of self-control. You've all felt it. You've all known what it is to be upset with someone or something, and our hearts can be dominated by anger. Our hearts can be dominated by lust, by greed, by jealousy. I want what they have, right? They have what I want. I want that. And our hearts are dominated by that, leading to lack of temperance. So we want our emotions, not just our direction in our lives, but our emotions, our minds and our emotions, to be dominated by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by anger or greed or jealousy or things that we would allow creep into our lives. Many, many things, many, many harmful things have taken place by anger, lust, greed, and jealousy. I can hardly think of any good thing that comes from anger. It's not going to help your marriage. It's certainly not going to help you in your family. It's not going to help you in the community. It's not going to help you with your friends. So we want the Spirit of God to make a life that is temperate or under self-control. And then number three, we're almost done this morning. You're like, boy, I can't wait for this one to be over, right? This one hurts a little bit because it relates really kind of to all of us. We all deal with these things from time to time. I joke, and I'm sure I've joked with you about this, but if I were to ask for a volunteer this morning, and I said, Monty's going to hook your brain up to some special wires in the sound room, and he's going to display your thoughts on the screen for 30 minutes, I wonder who would be first in line, right? I doubt if anybody would want that, right? Because we all have battles. We all think things that we shouldn't think or do. And so we want our thoughts to be in line with the power of the Spirit of God. We want our actions to be in line with the power of the Spirit of God. We want our minds to be right. We want our emotions to be right. And then number three, and this is where it all leads. How about the actions of our mouths? Oh, no. Surely none of us have ever said anything we wish. Come back. There's even a saying that said, I stuck my foot in my mouth, right? It's saying something you wish you hadn't have said and wishing you could get it back. The deeds and the actions of our mouth are demonstrated or should be demonstrated by the fruit of temperance, a speech that is fitting, not filthy. A speech that demonstrates the fruit of the Spirit of self-control, not an unbridled tongue. You know, there's a saying that I was taught as a kid that is found out to be the biggest lie that I ever heard as a child. Sticks and stones, it says, will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. That is not true. The words people say from their mouths are cutting and hurtful. Kids saying mean things to other kids hurt those children. Adults saying things to other adults hurt other people. Words are painful. And I'll tell you what, in Christian circles, sometimes we need to exercise a little self-control when it comes to the things we say. Because I always ask myself this question, would I want someone to speak to me that way? Right? And that's helped me control a lot of my own actions because I know how I want to be spoken to. And so it goes back to the golden rule, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. So the deeds of our mouths should demonstrate the fruit of self-control. A speech that is fitting, as I already said, and not filthy. But the fruit of self-control, as I already said, touches nearly every area and every stage of our life, whether it's our minds, our emotions, or our mouths. Each one of them need to be under the control of the Spirit of God. Each of us. The Bible says, that's another sermon. Okay, but anyway, but we have to be careful with the things we say, the things we say to other people. I can still remember things people have said to me, and I imagine you remember things people have said to you. Let me ask you a question. I won't ask you to raise your hand, but I'll know whether it's true or not. Who's ever been hurt by someone's words? Yeah. Okay, let's raise our hands. Who's ever been hurt by someone's words? Everybody in here. Everyone in here. Who's ever said something to someone you wish you hadn't have said? Yeah, me too. We need to let the Spirit of God guide our tongues, guide our emotions and our anger, and guide and have control over our hearts and our minds, because that's really where it all starts from. The mind begins to think it. Our emotions get involved, and then our mouths say it, right? In other words, what I'm trying to say this morning is this. You will never obtain self-control until you yield yourself to the control of the Spirit. You will never have self-control until you exhibit yourself to the control of the Spirit. Temperance is not a result of the mind and emotions and senses being put under the control of man's will, because we can't control ourselves. At least I can't. Maybe you're better than I am. We can't control ourselves. We are capable of anything. These things are not a result of the human will being under the control of our will. It's a result of the human will being under the control of the Spirit's will. Would God want me to think that? Would God want me to say that? Would God want me to have this anger or this lust or this greed or this jealousy? See, we need to bring these actions under the control of the Spirit of God. I made this statement when I began this series, and it remains true. Every area in our lives that are not in line with these fruits are all indications of areas that we have not surrendered to the Spirit of God. Because I promise you that this is what the Spirit does. You say, Josh, I'm not loving. Have you surrendered that to the control of the Spirit of God? Because He's going to produce some love in you. He will. If you're surrendered to Him and His power, He will produce love in your heart. You say, Josh, I have no self-control and there's nothing I can do. Have you surrendered your mouth or your thoughts or your anger to the control of the Spirit of God? Have you asked Him to deliver you from this and to produce this fruit in your life? Now, I'm going to be honest. Maybe for some you say, hey, I'm healed. I'm never going to say anything again. To me, it's been a process. It's been a process of the Spirit pricking my heart and saying, Josh, you ought not say that. Josh, you ought not think that. You ought not be controlled by that. And the Spirit of God, one by one, day by day, chipping away at my old flesh and producing the image of Christ within me. But it starts with this. It starts with surrendering to the Spirit of God in that area. We can have the fruits of the Spirit. We can see His work in our lives. And that's why He says in Galatians chapter number 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love. He can produce love. It is joy. He can produce joy. It is peace. He'll give you peace like you've never seen. It's long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance and self-control. That's what he can produce, these things. One other quote I have for you. The believer who walks in the Spirit and manifests his fruit does not need a system of law to produce the right attitudes and behaviors. It is produced from within by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's what I want us all to get. One more thing, I'll be done. These fruits are not produced from outward to in. It's produced from inward to out. That's why I've said every time, these are attitudes. This is a work in the heart of man that manifests itself from the out to the outside. These are not produced by a list on the fridge. It's not produced by a string around your finger. It's produced from within by the Spirit of the living God. Let's bow our heads together this morning. Joanna and Bethany are going to go and play something for us on the piano and the violin. As we've bowed our heads together this morning, I want to ask for a response from you this day. I wonder who in here, with all your heart, would say, Josh, my sincerest desire is to see the fruits of the Spirit exhibited in my life. Josh, my sincerest desire today is to see the fruits of the Spirit exhibited in my life. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up? That's what I want. I want to see the fruits of the Spirit in my life. Well, let me ask you this next question. I imagine almost everyone raised their hand. Next question. If that is your desire, have you yielded control of your life to the Spirit of God? Have you seen that maybe there's areas where you've not been loving and you say, Spirit of God, produce the fruit of love in my heart through your power? Maybe there's an area in your life where you've not exhibited self-control at all. Maybe it's time to say, I'm done. I'm done trying on my own power. I need the Spirit of God to help me with my mind, my emotions, and my mouth. I'm tired of being controlled by anger and bitterness. I want to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Take a moment. If that's your desire today, I challenge you right now to submit to the leading of the Spirit of God. You've tried on your own, but it hadn't worked. Let's see the Spirit of God produce these fruits in our lives. Thank you. You can look back up here for a moment. Could you imagine how the world could be impacted by Christians who exhibited the fruits of the Spirit? Could you imagine what a different world it could be if we all surrendered to the power of the Spirit of God and we exhibited His love, not our own. We had His joy, not our own. His meekness and His self-control. Wow. The world would surely look at us and say, you all are different. I want to know what you have. I pray that each of us would surrender as we've already done this morning. Surrender to the power of the Spirit of God. Let's bow our heads together for prayer and we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for being willing to help us, knowing our frailties, knowing the difficult time we have with our own flesh. And we thank you that through the Spirit of God, we can have joy and love and peace, goodness and gentleness, all these fruits. And Lord, this day, help us to exhibit temperance, to exhibit self-control in our thoughts, in our emotions, in our words. Lord, we pray that through the Spirit of God, we would surrender these areas of our lives to you, that we would see you produce within us that which we thought was impossible, and that it would be done by your power and your strength. We thank you for this day that we've had to meet together. Keep us safe as we go our separate ways. Be with those that are not feeling well, that couldn't be here this morning. And help us to live by the power of the Spirit of God, not only this day, but this week, in every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask this. Amen.